Please turn in God's Word on this Thanksgiving Day to Philippians chapter 4. We will read just two short verses in the Holy Scripture, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's give attention now to God's Word. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. May God bless His holy word to our hearts on this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that even in just a couple of words, we see indeed Your eternal will for our lives, not only today, but indeed all our life. And help us especially today to grasp, to be able to make the most of a Thanksgiving day, because we've been able to begin it with this deep devotion and study of Your Holy Scripture. I pray that the words that are said would be accurate and faithful and would drive home the truth of Your Word to each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congregation, the last page of the bulletin is a little sermon outline if you want to see that, to follow along as we look at Philippians 4. 6 and 7. Brothers and sisters in Christ, during today in particular, as well as this time of year, but the holidays, but especially today, we will enjoy, I imagine, many family recipes. Perhaps it's that pumpkin pie, or certain variety of the sweet potato dish, or the stuffing, or maybe it's that special way Grandma always cooks the turkey so that it always turns out so juicy and flavorful. Perhaps it's some other appetizer or dessert that you share. Often these recipes are enjoyed just today. One particular holiday gathering all year long. That's it, just on that one moment of the year. But in our scripture today, we see a recipe as well. A recipe that can be used and stirred up and enjoyed each and every day of the year. Whether you're all by yourself or gathered together with friends and family, this recipe even works for you, even if you don't have all the kitchen gadgets that other people do. And no matter how young or old you are or where you happen to be. Look at that passage again with me, if you would, and see if you can identify the recipe. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you catch the recipe there? Did you notice the ingredients? The setting for the recipe is worry, anxiety, nervousness, fear. But as Christians, we're not to be overcome by those things. Anxieties come, and they're there, but we're not to be overcome by them as Christians. What do? Instead, we take the main ingredient, prayer and supplication, the same basic thing, requests. Prayer that's made to God, we speak to God in prayer. We take that made ingredient and we add to it another ingredient, with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving. And the result of that recipe, prayer with thanksgiving, is the peace of God that gives us true delight as we enjoy that recipe, as we taste the delicious peace that God gives to us in Christ. That's the recipe God gives. So let's look at the parts of this recipe a little more closely then, because we see in this passage that Paul prescribes for us this perfect recipe for the Christian: prayer with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving. First, we'll notice that we need this recipe, and then secondly, we'll notice we enjoy this recipe. We need this recipe. Verse 6 begins by saying, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing, but rather use the recipe: by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, the original people who heard this recipe had a lot of need for it. You study the book of Philippians at all, you know that the people there had, in the city of Philippi, had a lot of anxieties and sufferings. And when they hear this from Paul, it's a real shock. Be anxious for nothing? What do you mean, Paul? Look at all the things we're going through. And in fact, for Paul to even say this was a shock, because Paul, when he wrote these words, he wasn't free like you and I. He was in jail. Because he was a Christian, preaching about Jesus, he was in jail. And that's when he said, "You don't have to be anxious about anything." He was in prison. We read also in this book that Paul had a very close friend who had almost died. Be anxious for nothing. Paul was concerned about two women in the church. It's just a few verses earlier in chapter 4, in the first couple of verses. And their families in Philippi, and the squabbling, and there was disunity and terrible trouble in the congregation itself. Paul was concerned about that. He told them how to deal with that, and yet he still can say now, be anxious for nothing. And there were false teachers around spreading lies about what the Bible says and about what the Apostle Paul says and about what Christians in Philippi should believe, and people were leaving the church. And he says, be anxious for nothing. In fact, he commands them just before this, rejoice in the Lord always. In case you didn't hear what I said, again, I will say, rejoice. And then he says, be anxious for nothing. There were plenty of things to be anxious for. And yet Paul said, be anxious for nothing long ago. Well, God still says that to you and me today. Be anxious for nothing. What are you anxious about? I'm sure it doesn't take long for us to start thinking in our minds about the sorts of situations, challenges, people, problems that give us a little fear, a little nervousness, a little anxiety. It could be almost anything. And yet the Bible says it ought to be nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety can be about things that we just think we need, but we don't really. The latest electronic gadget or toy, a certain vacation plan. Maybe you're just anxious to get a few hours of peace and quiet and uninterrupted time for yourself. Whatever it may be. And God calls us today to apply this scripture today to our hearts. Here's one way we can do that. Try answering this question. Do you agree with God that you shouldn't worry? Oh, we know he says it here, but do you agree with God? Is it right for God to tell you not to be anxious? Do you agree with him about that? Do you agree with God that prayer to him is something you absolutely need? Prayer with thanksgiving? And that is actually going to do anything for your anxieties and worry? Do you agree with God about that? Or do you have to feel thankful first before you can agree with God? We know the dangerous and slippery road when we base our life and our happiness on how we feel in that moment. And God calls us regardless of our feelings, to realize, be anxious for nothing, but rather pray to him with thanksgiving. Perhaps someone has some anxiety about dealing with a family member that you don't particularly like, or you'd like them, but they don't like you, and you don't necessarily get along with all that well. Well, let's apply this scripture to such a situation, and applying it to that, you can use your imagination and wisdom to apply it to all sorts of other situations that might be more fitting to you if this one isn't. It's a good lesson for us today and an opportunity for us as Christians to be an example to our culture in how we can truly serve God even when others around us aren't always so likable and lovable. Because you see, in our family or in a congregation or even in our country, there are all sorts of people that we have relationships with that we didn't choose to have a relationship with. Look at the address that you get your mail at in your home, and look at everybody else who lives near you. Did you decide who gets to be all of your neighbors? Did you make the decision? Of course not. Our community is full of all sorts of people, and sometimes the neighbors change, but you and I don't get to purposely, specifically decide who all of our neighbors are. Or who everyone who lives in Wisconsin is, or who everyone who lives wherever you come from lives. There's diversity. A church also will have diversity. Certainly a church will have commonality in terms of common doctrine, common beliefs. It's very important. But within that and beyond that, there's a lot of diversity. People with different backgrounds and opinions on all sorts of things. And that's okay. That's actually right and good by design. The Bible says we are a body of Christ, and each of us is a different part of that body. A hand, a foot, a mouth, a tongue, a kneecap, whatever. And we need each one to do its own part. So don't be anxious about the fact of diversity. So you have that family member. We'll call him Cousin Fred. He never eats the recipe you worked so hard to prepare. He complains about it. This year you changed it a little bit in hopes that you would satisfy him. But he still refuses to even taste it. And then when it comes time for the annual Thanksgiving board game, he doesn't play but sits and enjoys his iPad or his phone. But he overhears what goes on, and every once in a while chips in with a criticism of this or that of what's going on. Well, that might be very annoying, but it doesn't need to make you anxious and bitter and angry like it often has in the past. Why? Because he's still your cousin, that's why. Because he's not there because he's your favorite teammate for the Thanksgiving board game. That's not why you're both in the room anyway. You see, as a Christian, through prayer, you can ask God to show you who you really are, why you're there in whatever location you are at that moment, that time of year, so that you can better get along with the people around you. Think of your coworkers, all sorts of challenges, and it's hard sometimes to get along with certain coworkers or supervisors, right? We don't get to choose who they are. And yet they are who they are. That's the people God's put in our life. And yet we can still not be anxious about those things, but rather do our best to get along and be kind and loving. You can show love and concern and bring up to Cousin Fred or others conversations that need to be addressed because the people that you see around us today, they're your family. Oh, it's always easier when everybody sees things eye to eye. But sometimes it's not that way. It's okay. We don't condone other people's sinful behavior, sinful speech, sinful actions, whether it be what they said or did on Thanksgiving Day or style all year long. But that doesn't stop us from Instead of being anxious, nervous, bitter, worried, angry, and frustrated, and all the rest, praying with thanksgiving and speaking in Christian love, speaking as a Christian about God's word on whatever topic is at hand at the table or on the couch in front of the movie, or the game. And so as Christians, we're called, in other words, to refocus our energy from anxieties and all the anger and frustration and worry that can come from that, undealt with anxiety. And instead of trusting in ourselves to try and fix the situation and get angry when it doesn't go our way, worry is just prayer to ourselves, you know. Instead of doing that, we pray to God. Put it in His hands. He's got big enough shoulders to take care of whatever our situation is. Remember what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Think of that. Every day is thankful. We're going to sing of this peace that God gives with the beautiful words of hymn 580, "When peace the river."